is Radio Superior 1938, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1938. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time and hear radio as it may have sounded in 1938. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is radio station KUWS calling. It's Saturday, December 24th, 1938. A good Christmas Eve to one and all. It's a snowy night at the head of Lake Superior. Stand by for the latest news with Lou Martin, sports with Rapid Ray. Harriet will fill us in on all the church events, and Uncle Bob will be in with our favorite Fair and Square Club kids. They've written Christmas stories for us.
Uncle Bob and not Santa Claus, huh?
There's nothing wrong with Uncle Bob at Christmas time. He's not going to push Santa out of a job. The Fair and Square kids will read those stories for you, good folks in the listening audience. We'll get busy with you first, Lou, with the Superior Merchants 6 o'clock news. Superior Merchants wishing you the best of this holiday for you and yours. It appears a Christmas angel is already looking out for us in Superior. Lou?
Well, that's right, Jack. A pleasant Christmas Eve to one and all. A fast-moving 16-car Omaha passenger train smashes a car as death extended its arms to four men at a crossing near Superior. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson is on the story. Merry Christmas, Mike.
Well, Merry Christmas, Lou. Fate intervened and laughed in its face. The result, the quartet is very much alive today, despite the fact a roaring Omaha passenger train, 2 hours late on the Chicago Superior run, struck the car in which they were riding, struck it not only once, but twice. So today, John Tylens at Iowa Avenue, the driver, Joe Simborski from Belknap Street, John Simborski of Wyoming Avenue, and Charles Eugenius of Iowa Avenue may look forward to another Christmas, a Christmas to be observed with special joy. The near pre-Christmas tragedy occurred at 9 a.m. as the quartet was driving out of the city and on an ice fishing trip to Long Lake near Solon Springs. The car proceeded up the Sam Anderson Hill Road, old highway number 11, leading off of highway 2 and 53, about 12 miles east of Superior. The men took the old road to save 2 miles on their trip, they said. The doubleheader mile-a-minute flyer seemingly appeared out of nowhere and struck the left front end of the car. The auto, with its four passengers, was spun around by the impact and was hit in the rear by the side of the train. The car was hurtled a short distance along the railway right-of-way, and when it came to a stop, the bewildered Superior men emerged, a near speechless but thankful party. Sheriff Art Sedin, who investigated the accident, described the escape from death as miraculous. Life was Providence's Christmas present to the four men.
Well, who could ask for more? Thank you, Mike. Well, here's some good news, another sign that the Great Depression is over. 2,300 men got word today that the Cleveland Cliff soft ore mines on the Marquette Range will have longer work weeks and better pay. Mine manager S.R. Elliott gave the best Christmas present possible, saying that on January the 9th, the men will return to a four-day work week and have the pay cuts from a year ago reversed. Ashland attorney Timothy Egan will serve on Governor-elect Julius Hiles' reception committee. Mr. Egan will leave with his wife for Madison on December the 30th. Milwaukee Archbishop Samuel Stritch and Governor Hiles gave their Christmas greetings today. Along with it came a warning. Bishop Stritch condemned, and we quote now, ugly violence and fierce hatred that give birth to inhuman cruelties and intolerable tyrannies. The world is noisy with war and threats of war, yet Bethlehem is our solitary hope and lasting consolation, unquote. KUWS News Time is 6:05. Jack McKenna has several Christmas greetings for us from local businesses.
Hi, Lou. I do. And it's a pleasure. Merry Christmas from Conrad's. William E. Hall, manager, says friends will remember you, and so do we, for Christmas joy. And how about Christmas greetings and season greetings, the whole works, from Lloyd and Ray Johnson of the Billings Park Pharmacy. Nice going, guys. A very Merry Christmas for all you folks. From the Motor Inn Incorporated, 12th at Ogden Avenue. Rather than think of us as a business institution, we would like to have you think of us as folks, for it is such that we wish you a Merry Christmas. Makes you wonder if this will be the last Christmas that we'll have peace on Earth.
I'm afraid the world is wondering what 1939 will hold for everyone. In Spain, civil war continues. Loyalists continue to firmly resist insurgent Generalissimo Francisco Franco's troops in perhaps the most momentous battle in the Spanish Civil War. Franco's great offensive along the frozen Pyrenees has been stopped in the largest meeting of troops from both sides in the 2.5 years of fighting. A well-known Jewish doctor and an attorney ended their lives in Budapest as the Hungarian legislature debates whether or not to allow Jews participation in economic and social activities. Attorney Giza Dombovary shot himself in a railroad station. Inside his pocket was a note that read, "I go because sorrow over the Jewish law." I, doctor, and a Christian of Jewish origin, Leo von Lieberman, shot himself in his office surrounded by newspaper articles of anti-Semitic laws proposed by Hungarian Premier Béla Imre's government. Imre's proposal would limit the Jewish right to vote, restrict the number of jobs available, and ban Jews from holding public office. Meanwhile, Pope Pius XI expressed his bitter sorrow at the bad relations between Italian Premier Benito Mussolini and the Vatican. The Pope condemned a new Italian law forbidding Arians from marrying non-Arians. One of the Pope's Italian cardinals has been criticized by the Italian government after giving a sermon attacking fascism and Nazi racial doctrines, saying it equals the threat of Bolshevism. The military buildup in Germany includes a large navy. Frederick Sondern is watching the situation for us from Berlin by means of this shortwave radio transmission recorded earlier today.
Your correspondent, Frederick Sondern here, calling from Berlin. To prevent another great crime and blunder, Mussolini had to throw all his weight into the balance at Berchtesgaden this week. Goebbels had been counseling Hitler that the time was right for the destruction of the Catholic Church in Germany. The Minister of Propaganda maintained that the many trials for immorality against the members of the clergy prosecuted by the Nazi government during the last year have so undermined the population's faith in the church that it's safe to proceed. Finally, Alducci himself stepped in and telephoned Hitler. Mussolini's alternative suggestion, according to insiders, is that Hitler wait until the Pope Pius passes away. Alducci will then bring pressure to bear for the election of a pro-totalitarian cardinal, from which there are several, to the throne of St. Peter. Hitler will thereafter be able to have his way. Der Führer apparently accepted this proposal, and further anti-Catholic action has been suspended for the present. But pressure in Berlin is very strong, and it is not unlikely that Hitler may swing back to his original plan. Calling from Berlin, this is your correspondent, Frederick Sondern, speaking.
This news from Ontario, Canada. It seems the Dionne Quintuplets' Christmas wish will not come true, even though the 4.5-year-old sisters have reportedly been very good the past few weeks. Santa was asked for some puppies for each of the girls, but alas, toy dogs will be their gift for this Christmas instead. Cheer will come to the inmates of the city and the county jails in Superior. The Christmas feed includes fried chicken, cranberry sauce, mashed potatoes and gravy, carrots, peas, coffee, and baked sweets.
Whoa! What's a good crime to get one day in jail?
Well, maybe if you threaten a judge.
In a nice tone of voice.
Police Department janitor Charles Running is putting on a nice spread for the birds that he feeds. A bag of grain was donated for him to spread out for his feathered friends. And that, Jack, is the news.
Lou Martin, ladies and gentlemen. Some bad news, though, some good. There ought to be a law forcing only good news on Christmas Eve. Well, let's turn to our weather for this Saturday night, Christmas Eve, 1938. We've got snow in our forecast. Snowfall is expected tonight through Christmas Day with a fresh northeasterly wind. Then colder temperatures by Monday. Today's high in Superior was 25 degrees, with a low expected tonight of 10. Nice church-going weather, folks. Got to get there. And to keep you in that Christmas mood, we have our Christmas favorites for you. Let's start with a hot, jazzy little number. This is Sleigh Ride, so giddy up on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. Just enjoyed the Sleigh Ride on station KUWS.
That's one of my favorites. Nothing like Christmas music.
You old sentimentalist, you.
Now, there's nothing wrong with a man showing the softer side. That's the trouble with some of those people in Europe.
You mean Hitler doesn't like Sleigh Ride?
I mean all this talk about war. Just like the Milwaukee Archbishop said in Lou's newscast.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know what to think. Just 3 months ago, we thought there was an agreement that would avoid war. I don't mind telling you that I'm not looking forward to 1939.
Well, a lot of people say that Europe's war won't be ours. There's a whole ocean between us.
I hope you're right, Lou. But that ocean is getting smaller all the time.
Jack's in a reflective mood this Christmas Eve, Louis.
We're living in strange times, Harriet. The fair and square kids are coming in later. Maybe he's thinking about them and their future.
Well, Jack, I was wrong. You are showing your sensitive side.
No, I'm not. I'm sitting down.
So much for Jack's sensitive side.
Goodness, you two boys. I have so many good things to announce. It'll be sure to bring cheer and hope to Jack and everyone listening. 65 aged men of Douglas County will get their Christmas cheer this holiday thanks to a group of citizens headed by Reverend Alvin O. Carlson and Superior Water, Light, and Power Company. The men at the Douglas County Welfare Shelter on 3rd and Tower Avenue will get sandwiches, cake, coffee, and cigarettes.
The guys in the city and county jail get a better feed than that.
Jack, this is a nice thing they're doing.
Certainly is. The Bridgman Dairy Store at 1106 Belknap offers its Christmas greetings to its customers, and Russell's Ice Cream employees wish everyone a Merry Christmas.
Well, this might not be in keeping exactly with the good news that you two have, but I want to join in. Is Hitler Insane will be the showing at the Beacon Theater as part of its March of Time news feature.
Yes, Lewis, that was different. So, anyway, 150 children were given a Christmas party in Ashland Thursday night. Alberta and Emma Lou Hagen opened the party by the Fraternal Order of the Eagles with an acrobatic dance, while Geraldine Damask accompanied on the piano. The party committee included William Trottier, Ed Corbijn, and Ray Reedy. The highlight, of course, was Santa arriving with bells ringing and nuts, candy, ice cream, and a gift for each child.
Oh, nice. We have lots of nuts around here. Wall and window cleaners John Edward and Roscoe Kernan thank everyone for their business in 1938. John Kenya at the mobile gas station wishes a gay, memorable Christmas. And why not drive out to the Dreamland Ballroom at Highway 53 and 2? They're serving Christmas dinner tomorrow from 5 to 9 p.m. Turkey, steak, or chicken dinners, 65 cents each. Sounds good, Lou.
Well, I've got another one. Superior Postmaster Bethel Robinson says special delivery and perishable packages will be delivered on Christmas Day, even though it's on a Sunday, Harriet.
A Merry Christmas to all our friends and customers from Peter and Walter Fagerlin and John Berg from Fagerlin and Berg Company, 1905 Iowa Avenue, phone 18.
Mr. John Grimsrud was in charge of handing out 800 bags of candy to East End boys and girls today. The First Ward kiddies got the goodies courtesy of the Chamber of Commerce and Mr. Grimsrud. Now you see, Jack, even though bad men seem to be with us always, we can't overlook the goodness of people, especially during this season.
It does give us all hope, Jack.
Yes, hope is a good thing. I hope you'll like this next Christmas number, friends. Let's enjoy Vaughn Monroe with his new holiday favorite, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, he's going to let it snow, on the Martin McKenna Christmas Eve 1938 show.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight,
if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. If you really so. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Friends, that should help put you in the Christmas mood. That's Let It Snow on Station KUWS. Hiya, Ray.
Well, hiya, Jack. You know, I'm really shocked to hear Harriet say you were showing your sensitive side. Hey, sit down. Good thing this is radio and not the movies.
Hardy har har. I expect you have some news from the sporting news this Christmas Eve.
Oh, the sports must go on. Merry Christmas, sport fans. Here's one reason those Chicago Cubs were so good in 1938. They didn't dribble, drool, drub, or boot the ball. Led by catcher-manager Gabby Hartnett, slick fielding first baseman Rip Collins, and second base wizard Billy Herman. The Cubs set a National League record for fielding last season. Statistics released today show Brooklyn did mighty fine with the glove, too. Dodgers shortstop Leo DeRocher and outfielder Goody Rosen led the league in fielding. Umpire Bill Clem says he's going to suit up for another year. The legendary arbiter will be 65 years old next February. He's a veteran of three decades in the National League. Well, how's this for wedded bliss? All-star women's golfer Babe Didrikson got hitched to all-star wrestler George Zaharias. They were in St. Louis the night after their wedding on Saturday, so George could wrestle. Let's hope Mr. Zaharias wasn't too tired out. Dallas Mayor Carl Slatton has a wager with Hollywood movie star Don Ameche. Seems the mayor has his hopes on the Texas Tech Red Raiders for the Cotton Bowl January 2nd. Mr. Ameche seems to think his beloved St. Mary's will be victors. On the line, 500 oranges from California or a bale of Texas cotton from Mayor Slatton. But hey, it's winter. Let's talk about the winter sporting news. Superior's 25 youth hockey teams start play next week. That's 300 boys ages 10 to 18 having a good old time on the ice. You've got your junior league, midget, and then cadet league. Well, this is Rapid Ray reminding you that everyone loves a good sport.
Sticking around for the fair and square kids, Ray?
Hey, I feel in the mood. Something only kids can do to give Christmas that special spirit.
Well, this is where I exit, because the fair and square kids are here. I gotta go. Tell you what, Ray, old buddy, old pal, you take it from here. How's that?
Well, that's very nice of you, Jack. You wouldn't let any old clown play Christmas favorites.
Hey there, kids, come on in. This is Silly Billy the Clowny from the Hills. You know, I've been around a long time, and I've always liked kids. And up at those hills, there aren't too many. Just a few little coyotes and wolfies calling. And they sing pretty, but I'd rather hear kids. I'll tell you what. You kids, come on in here, get close up to this sound picking up and thing, and you sing that song, Wreck the Halls. Nope, that's not it. Back the Hill Snow, what the heck was that thing? Oh, I'm in the mood for the Holly. Nope, that's not it. Deck the Halls, ain't that jolly? Here comes my, nope, I'll tell you what. You guys just sing the way it's supposed to be.
Deck the halls with boughs of holly, la 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 la. 'Tis the season to be jolly, la 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 la. Don we now our gay apparel, la 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 la. Troll the ancient yuletide carol, la 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 la. la, la.
Let's bring in our special guest on this Martin and McKenna show, the Christmas Eve special. None other than Uncle Bob and the Fair and Square Kids.
Merry Christmas to one and all.
Uncle Bob!
Yep, Uncle Bob is right. That's our wish for all you boys and girls who have been so active in the Fair and Square Club this year. I only wish I could go around with dear old St. Nick tonight and visit all, each and every one of you. Wouldn't that be fun?
You'd better not, Uncle Bob.
Well, pull on my suspenders. Why not, little Arnold?
Because you're too big.
Too big for what, Mr. Fair and Square?
Too big for the sled. Between you and the big old Santa, there wouldn't be room for presents.
The kid's got a point, Uncle Bob. And think of the load the reindeer would have. We don't want any injured reindeer.
That's enough, Mr. Martin. It's not too late to change your gift from Santa to coal in a stocking.
Well, matter of fact, the load probably would pop old Rudolph's nose, and they wouldn't be able to see where they're going.
Please, Uncle Bob, not Rudolph's nose, too.
No, don't you worry, Arnold. The reindeer will be fine. Uncle Bob has other plans for tonight, like delivering a lump of coal for Santa to Uncle Lou's house. None of my Fair and Square kids will get coal for Christmas, will you?
No, Uncle Bob.
Well, that means you've been good this year?
Especially me. You can even ask my little sister.
You've been good all year long, Arnold?
Yes, since last week.
Ho, since last week, eh?
We brought you your stories we wrote for you, Uncle Bob.
I know you. You're Geraldine Paquette. You live right here in Superior. Let me guess. Don't tell me.
Think hard, Uncle Bob.
We don't want Uncle Bob to pop anything upstairs by thinking hard, like the reindeer nose thing.
You'll be getting enough coal to keep you warm through the winter, Uncle Lewis.
You don't remember, do you, Uncle Bob?
Uncle Bob knows all of his Fair and Square boys and girls. You, Geraldine, are a lucky 13 years old. Geraldine, you've been so quiet.
You could say it's because of my age. Getting older changes things at Christmas. That's my poem. It's called Disillusion.
Goodness sakes, sounds serious.
Christmas doesn't seem the same to me at all. I guess it's just because I've grown so tall. I always looked for Santa Claus when small, imagined I heard reindeer in the hall. There isn't any fun in Christmas now. I guess it's all because I don't know how. To make myself believe in Saint Nick will bow in all the little houses in our row. I always used to want a doll each year. I'd go downtown to whisper in his ear. And always so believing, so sincere, so tickled pink when Christmas time was here. I don't know why I wish for toys no more, and I quit peeking through the closet door. My interest wanders from the light and store, but gee, I never felt this way before. I envy every little tiny child who wants especially for toys now hid. The joy delivered from lifting up a lid. Because I know that's what I always did. Now that I know things aren't what they seem, I sort of all long in a child's simple dream. The Christmas that I used to know doesn't mean so much. I've reached ripe old age 13.
That was just great. Just great, Geraldine. But, well, you are a big girl growing up and all that. Older and wiser, as they say, Geraldine. But listen to Uncle Bob. Never outgrow Christmas. You're never too old to feel its magic. Look at Lou. He's all lit up.
I beg your pardon?
He'll never admit it, but he can't wait to open his presents. And then there's Harriet. She's back there fixing some hot cider for everyone. She started humming Christmas carols last week and hasn't stopped. You just hang on, Geraldine. We have some Fair and Square kids who will take the dis out of disillusioned. Arnold, hey, you want a train set for Christmas, don't you?
Do I? The kind with big tracks and hills and water towers and whistles and steam?
And Phyllis Deutsch, you live in Superior, too. You don't want a train, do you?
No, Uncle Bob.
I know what you'd like. You'd like a bike.
I know how you know. I know you read my story. That's how I know.
I knew you'd know how I know, I think. And Marian Iverson, you came all the way from Siren to read your story to Uncle Bob and everyone in Fair and Square Land. I bet you I know what you want. You know?
Oh, no.
Ho, ho, ho! To steal a line from my friend Kris Kringle. You'd like two Raggedy Ann dolls. And after you read us your story, Marian, everyone will know why you'd like two dollies.
I wrote this for a friend of mine. It's called Invalid's Christmas. A brightly burning candle throws a light upon the snow, and the busy chattering people pass the window to and fro. The burning log in the fireplace slowly crumbles away and leaves the room in darkness to the misty evening's gray. But what does all this mean on this joyous Christmas day for a child who cannot see any brightness, any light? But he is content with what he hears. His heart knows no evil. He has no fears. On Christmas Eve, when the bells ring out, he hears another boy's merry shout. Content with the home therein abide, with a happy free heart and God at his side.
That's what Christmas is all about, isn't it, boys and girls? And Marion, you want two Raggedy Ann dollies.
One for my friend in the story and one for me. And we can play with them together.
That's so sweet. I think Uncle Lou is going to cry.
Uncle Lou just has the sniffles, that's all.
Seems to me someone else has a sensitive side to show, too. I won't tell Harriet.
Can I read my poem next, Uncle Bob?
Only if I can give you a proper introduction. Fair and square, boys and girls, this is Master Arnold Sorry of Maple.
The Norway Pines by Arnold Sorry. Straight and green, very tall, the pines of Norway grow. I can hear the sweetest songs amongst their branches blow. It stands so high above the rest, over all the other trees, that I am sure it loves and watches everyone it sees. The end.
So those big old pine trees watch us, do they, Arnie? Let that be a lesson to you, boys and girls. Be good in a forest that has pine trees. We have someone else ready to read, don't we? How about you, Phyllis Deutsch of Superior?
I won't say if this is true, and I won't say if this is false, but this is my story. It's called Sweet Charity. He was standing there shivering on the corner of 13th and Tower. His clothes were scanty, and he did not appear well. Jim Altrose was his name, but down below the tracks, he was better known as Red. Red, the drunkard's son. In Jimmy's hands, chapped with the cold, was a kettle. It was to receive donations for the poor and needy. This was the Yule season, and all good souls were inspired to aid Red by the saying, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Jimmy had a very pleasing and humble personality, which appealed to the Christmas shoppers and passersby. On his second day out, he appealed to a fine young businessman, who immediately took him to one of the department stores and bought him a woolen jacket and a pair of mittens. Yet today, Jimmy was wearing his old coat and was gloveless, saying that the new ones he would wear on Christmas and not before. Almost every night, his kettle was well filled and always averaged $5. So far, he had brought in $16.87. Today, a charming old woman approached Jimmy, saying, "My son, may I donate this to you?" And before he could answer, she pressed a $10 bill into his hand and disappeared. "Phew," Jim whistled. "Now I can buy that bicycle that I saw in the hardware store and have a few dollars to spare."
What a brave boy. I know that story must be true, Phyllis. There's so many good people in it. It has to be true. What a nice Christmas story. Now, I'm all in the mood. You know, boys and girls, there's a lot of not-so-good out in the world. But we here in America will always keep children safe because the good is way, way more than the bad. Still disillusioned in your old age, Geraldine?
I think I like my teddy bear again, Uncle Bob, and some candy canes. But do you know what?
No. What?
I don't think I'd mind standing under the mistletoe this year.
Oh, that would be part of becoming a teenager, Geraldine.
Arnold's looking nervous now.
What a wonderful time, boys and girls. Kind of restores my hope in this old world. We can only hope for the best in 1939. What we know for sure, kids, is the light will always outshine the dark places. How about that? You have a song for old Uncle Bob, too, if he promises not to ride along with Santa and Pop Rudolph's nose.
You have to promise, Uncle Bob.
Yeah, promise, Uncle Bob.
And then we'll sing you a Christmas carol.
That's a deal. I'll sip some hot chocolate while the tubby boy works all night. I promise, kids.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. And little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The carol are blowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky. And stay by my cradle till morning is nigh.
Remember, it's not square to be fair. Merry Christmas from all of us.
To you and yours.
The sniffles? How sweet, Louis. Merry Christmas, everyone.
And from Ray, too.
From all of us, good buddy. Merry Christmas, and to all, a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1938. A weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by John Munsell. All events reported on Radio Superior 1938 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.